Welcome to Selling with Confidence, How to Get a Yes Without Being Pushy, with Business Optimizer Coach Stacy Hyland. For almost a decade, Stacy has been helping 6 to 7 figure entrepreneurs with powerful marketing and sales strategies to get more clients, more profit, and more time off to enjoy who and what they love. She is a sought-after international speaker who was chosen by Mark Victor Hansen and Robert G. Allen as a speaker for the promotional tour for their New York Times best-selling book, 1 Minute Millionaire. She is also a contributing author to Living an Extraordinary Life. Stacy also provides high-level business coaching on sales and marketing through Chet Holmes and Tony Robbins' business coaching company, Business Breakthroughs International. Here now is Stacy Hyland with Selling with Confidence, How to Get a Yes Without Being Pushy.
Hi, everybody. My name is Stacy Hyland. I am the Business Optimizer Coach, and welcome to Selling with Confidence, Getting a Yes Without Being Pushy, because that's, I did a survey of my list, and that's one of the things that people really want is they want more clients, more of their perfect clients, but they want to be able to do it without being pushy and without not sounding like them. So that's really what we're going to cover today. But before we jump into that, just a little bit of housekeeping for you guys. So we call it, I have all the lines muted so that there's no background or distractions, because I know some of you might be even having lunch with me right now. But what I would ask you is not to be multitasking. It's okay if you need to, you know, cram down your lunch at the same time. But what I would ask you to do is, you know, be 100% focused on the call so that you can get the most out of it. And, you know, really, I'd like for you to set a goal for your call. So take your piece of paper and say, okay, what do I want to learn right now in this call? What is it that I came here to improve? What is it I came here to get better at? All right. And at the end of the call, we're going to be opening up for questions and answers. You can also put the questions in the tweet stream on tweetchat.com. All right, so let's get going. All right, so a little bit of background about me. Many of you might have met me at the Entrepreneur Growth Conference last week, because this was part of that this was offered. I've been selling since I was in third grade. Yes, you've heard me correctly. Since I was in third grade, I started selling items at retail prices, buying them for wholesale, and started my first little business in third grade, moved on to selling B2B, business to business, in fifth grade. I had an entrepreneurial family. My dad was in sales, and I even read my first book in third grade on how to, you know, self-improvement, and then moved on to sales strategies and sales books. So you might say, oh, well, Stacy, you know, you don't understand me. I'm not good at selling. I want to improve. If you've always been doing it, then you must not be scared. But I'm going to show you a little secret. I was really, really good at selling other people's products. I was always in the top sales. I worked for a national company. That my very first week out of the gate, I was the second highest salesperson in the company. But then when I started working for myself and started to have to sell myself and my own business, all of a sudden, my confidence in selling went way down. Because it was one thing if people were saying no to buying insurance or saying no to buying the beauty things that I was selling in the beauty industry. But when people started to say no, when it was about my coaching or my coaching business, I really struggled with that at the beginning, because I felt like they were saying no to me and there was something wrong with me. So I'm going to share some of the things that I've learned, some of the things that I've shared with my clients. I've been doing this for over 10 years now, so that you can see how you can implement this into your business. All right, so here's what you're going to learn today. You are going to learn what mistakes to avoid. So that's one of the biggest things about business. If you can learn how to get rid of the mistakes you're making, you're halfway there, because then you just need to start to do the right stuff. but let's go over that. We're also going to look at who are your perfect clients and how to get more of them. We're going to have you learn how to have a sales process that you're more comfortable with, and it's going to help you get more of your perfect clients. And then at the very end, I'm going to share a way for you to work with me more in depth, so that if you need more help on, you know, getting these sales scripts and your sales process really working for you and your business will help. I can help you with that as well. All right, so let's jump right into the challenges. Okay, so after coaching hundreds of business owners, I see the same challenges showing up over and over again. It's happening all the time. So one of the first things is to be busy instead of productive. So if you if you're busy instead of productive, that would be you could put that in the tweet chat or in the conference window there if you're listening online. Busy means that you're doing something, versus being productive means that you're doing something that moves you closer towards your goals. So a lot of times, entrepreneurs, business owners, salespeople, what they're doing is they're doing busy work. I need to write this out. I need to work on this. I need to do paperwork. I need to organize my office. I need to call this person back. But it's not something that's leading you towards your goal. So something that I use as a tool is to ask myself several times a day, am I being busy or am I being productive? Is this something that's moving me towards my goals? So that's something that you want to look at. Now, I am a big fan of using virtual assistants. Like I said, my VA is actually on the line and taking care of things for me. And I work with a team of VAs. And that's because a lot of times I noticed I was busy with things, but it wasn't stuff that was productive. So that's, you know, even if you have a small company, it's still very affordable to get a VA to work with you a few hours a week to help take care of some of that busy work. Okay. The second challenge or mistake that I see people making is to focus on they're focusing on the wrong things in their business. So they're focusing on the 80% of their business that's giving 20% of the profits instead of focusing on the 20% in your business that's giving you 80% of the profits. So there was an economist a gazillion years ago, Alfred Pareto, and he came up with the concept that in anything, 20% account for 80% of the results. So it could be the seeds in the field, it could be clients, it could be actions that you're taking. So what I want you to look at is, what is that 20% in your business that you can be doing that would give you 80% of the results? Because if you have this upside down, then you're not going to get the best results for everything that you're doing. So again, you're going to be busy with that 80%, because that 80%, the clients that are not your perfect clients are going to keep you very busy, but they're not going to give you as much profit. So here's a way that you can figure out whether you're focused on the correct 80-20 or the 20-80. The reason most entrepreneurs and salespeople don't know this is that they don't know their numbers. And this is something that when you first start out in business, even if you've been in business for a while, unless you're in a big corporation that they make you do this, this is a mistake that you're making. So I want you to sit down and figure out your numbers. This is your first action step of today's call. So again, action step number one, this is what I want you to figure out. First of all, I want you to figure out what your average sale is. So this is, you take all of your sales, add up all of your sales for the last year, even add up all the sales for your last month, divide it by the number of sales, and that'll give you your average sale amount. Now, some of you might be surprised, and you might find that you're working way too hard for not enough money. You might also find that you're not as profitable as you'd like. So this is a really important number to know. The other number that I want you to know is your average lifetime value of a client. So I'd like you to take your clients and look at, okay, how long do people stay with me? How much do they buy over the lifetime that they're working with me? And again, this is a great number to know, because when you know how much people spend, so for example, say somebody is spending $100 on an average sale, and they're spending $1,000 with you as an average lifetime value, that lets you know how much money you can put into your marketing, how much money you can put into your business to be able to afford, because each client is not worth $100, each client is worth $1,000. So that's a big difference. And I think those numbers will surprise you. I just had a guy do this last week, one of my clients, and he was absolutely shocked at the number. So definitely do that. The other thing that you need to know in terms of your numbers is to look at your average closing ratio. So how many sales conversations are you having and how many people convert to be clients? So that is a really important number, and to track that number on a monthly basis, because you should be improving each and every month. That's a key point. You should be improving in your business and in your sales process each month. And if you're not, then you really need to work on this and spend some time working on this. Because you're, in order for your business to grow, you need to have your sales process down. So again, that's your action steps. Fill out your average sale, your average lifetime sale, lifetime value of the client, and your average closing ratio. All right. And I like to see the people in the tweet chat that are taking some notes here. That's great. All right, so the third mistake that people are making is that they don't have a system or a language that feels like them. And really, this is important because big companies, what they do is they create a sales script and they make everybody use that sales script. But what happens with small business owners is they just kind of wing it. And by winging it, again, you can't track the numbers. You don't know what you're doing that's effective. You don't know what you're doing that's not effective. Now, when I say create a sales system or a script, people are like, oh, Stacy, I don't want to have a script because it's confining. And, you know, each person I say something different with. But when I'm saying to have a script, number one, you need to have questions that you're asking all of your clients or prospects. And we're going to go into that later. But you need to have an outline so that you know exactly the funnel that you're going to bring people down through. What information do you need to gather from your prospect in order to help educate them about becoming one of your clients? So when I was the sales rep, like I said, I was number two in the country my very first week. And when I would interact with other reps in the company, a lot of them, you know, never even made it in the top 10 in the company. And what I found is that I could always pick up little things that they were saying, little things that they were doing that I liked, and I could add to my skills, I could add to my sales language. So one of the little keys for you is to always be alert to great selling conversations around you. And then add the stuff that you like to your own sales conversations, because I find a lot of times people, especially women, they're seeing a guru say, this is what you should say, and they try to say it for their own business, and it doesn't sound like them. So you want to find things that sound like you, but you also want to track it to make sure that the numbers work. All right. So the fourth mistake that I see people making is that you feel like you're being pushy, and so you avoid asking for the sale, or don't ask for the sale, or you avoid follow-up. Now, there was a shocking statistic that I found. I had done a conference for a big trade show company years back. And what the research uncovered is that 93% of all trade show leads are never followed up on. Now, this is a trade show is a big investment. You're putting a budget into this. You're getting a booth. You're traveling. You might have sales reps there. And they're not being followed up on. So I'm sure in your own business, if you don't have a trade show going on, that this is also happening, that you're not following through, you're not asking for the sale, and you're not following up. Now, you know, some of these ways are very tricky because you might do it in your conversation that you're not asking for the sale, but also in your marketing and your advertising, a lot of people aren't asking for the sale. So that's a good tip, is to check on your website and make sure you're asking for the sale. Now, even if it's not a sales page that you're asking for a sale on that page, ask for the next step that you want the client to take. Not every conversation is something that people are going to buy something, but asking for the appointment is just as important as asking for the sale. So you always want to be moving them forward. Okay. Now, the fifth mistake is something that's a big mindset mistake that I see people making a lot of times in their businesses, is that what you do or what you sell seems so simple or easy to you that you don't value it, right? So when you don't feel like it's important to you or that it's easy for you, you don't sell it as well because it doesn't seem as important, and you don't put enough emphasis on it. And really, teach the client exactly what that is going to do for them. So I'll give you an example. I was doing something on my website, and I was struggling with it like crazy. And I it was an example of me being busy, not productive, because this is not something that I should have been doing. So what I ended up doing is I sent it over to my virtual assistant and had them do it. Within an hour, they had sent it back to me, and it was something very simple for them to do. And the point is that thing that I got done, so this was to do a video that I was struggling with. It was not just doing a video. It was about me being able to sell my business, being able to communicate what I do, being able to establish credibility, being able to get leverage. So it was as simple as editing a video for what the task was, but the value was much greater. So we're going to go into this a little later in today's call, but I just want you to be aware of that mistake that you might fall into of, hey, this was really easy for me. You know, make sure that you put the value to it, because it's easy for you, but it's not easy for other people. All right, so here's where the rubber meets the road. We're going to dig into what you need to do differently, because we're going to stop doing those five things. So I'm just going to review those really quickly. So again, we have to stop being busy instead of productive. You need to focus on the 20% in your business that is giving you 80% of the results. You need to have a system and sales language that feels like you. You need to ask for the sale and follow up. And you need to value what it is that you sell or what it is that you do. Okay. So let's jump in. I have five strategies that have been working for my clients for over 10 years that have helped them increase their sales and, more importantly, get more of your perfect clients. So, people say, oh, perfect clients, there's no perfect client. But I bet if you looked at your current business, you could identify the people in your business that you absolutely love working with, right? So we're going to talk a little bit about how you can find those people, who they are, how to get more of them. So there's only three ways to grow a business. Number one is to increase the number of clients, increase the average size of the sale per client, and increase the frequency that the client buys. So that's why, if we go back to the mistake of not tracking your numbers, that's why this is really important. So increasing the number of clients, which we're obviously, as you get better at sales conversations, you're going to be able to do. Increasing the average size of the sale per client. So this is really important. I have another class, low-hanging fruit, that covers really easy ways to increase your average size of your sale per client. But if you don't know what it is, you don't know whether you're doing it or not. So get those numbers written down and do that today. Increase the frequency that the client buys. So by being really good at explaining the value of what you do and how it's going to help the person, then it's going to really help you sell more of what it is that you do. People will buy more often. They'll buy more. All right. So I want to, before we move forward into this perfect client, what I want to do is define the difference between a customer and a client, because you'll hear me say client, 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 and it's very distinct choice. You know, it's a very big difference between customer and a client. So I want to make that distinction for you guys. And I thank Jay Abraham for this. Jay Abraham is a great guy in marketing. A customer, and this is the Webster's Dictionary, is one who purchases a commodity or service, usually systematically or frequently, one that patronizes or uses services. Okay. So you think, oh yeah, I have customers. But a client is a person under the care or protection of another who purchases a product or a service. Okay. So I'll give you an example. So if somebody is my customer, I'm going to sell them a product or a service. If somebody is my client, they're under my protection. So I'll give you the example of, say, for example, you have a website design firm. Okay. So if somebody's buying a website from you, and they say, I want a home page, I want this page, I want that page, and they lay out everything that they want. Okay, that they're going to buy the product or service from you. But what the difference is if they're your client, is you are going to advise them from your place of knowing more than they do about the website and about growing their business through the website and what it is that they need. So, for example, you might say, yes, Mr. Client, you need a home page, you need a About Us page, you need a this page, but you also, you know, being that it's the 21st century, you should also put your Facebook stuff in on your home page so that you can connect your social media, you can connect your LinkedIn with your website so that you want to have a blog page on your website. So you're advising them as to what that they need to do so that they will get the results that they want. They're under your care. Now, the person can choose whether or not they want to do what you advise, but it's our obligation as somebody that is serving the client instead of just selling them and pushing them things is to educate them about what will help them reach their goals. All right. So you probably all know a not-so-perfect client, right? And a not-so-perfect client, you know, those are the 80% that account for 20% of our revenue because they complain a lot. They're not a good fit with you and your company or your brand. They're late or they cancel appointments, which means you can't bill for your time. They pay late. They complain, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So what we want to do is we want to make sure that we don't get as many of those anymore. And to gain some confidence so that you can sell to your perfect clients. Because a lot of times when you start out, you take anybody, and this is something that I work with my one-on-one clients to do, is to say sometimes you have to really say no to the people that are not your perfect clients and refer them on. So here's your next action step. I want you to define your perfect client. Who is your perfect client? Now, the way that I do this is I look at who is it that I have now or in the past within my business that I love working with? Who is a raving fan? Who loves me? Who loves my company? Who loves my products? Who is fun to deal with? Who do I love when they call on the phone or send me an email? That's an example of a perfect client. Now, hopefully you have more than one of them. If you don't have more than one of them, start with that one. And if you don't even have one that's a perfect client right now, what I want you to do is write down the person that's not your perfect client and use the opposite of that. So, for example, if your not-so-perfect client is late and cancels appointments, then your perfect client is on time and values your services. If your not-so-perfect client pays late, then your perfect client obviously pays promptly. Complains. Okay, the opposite of that is that they rave about me and my products and services. Now, we're going to go a little bit deeper into this. So those are a few of the things that you don't like and what you like, but what else is it about the perfect client? So, for example, my perfect client is usually a business owner, 6 to 7-figure business owner, that is highly motivated and is an implementer. So I want people that they're at the point that they want to grow their business rapidly and that they're ready to do whatever it takes. And you know, I've worked with a lot of people that are already successful people that want to take their business to the next level. So who is it that is your perfect client? What is it that makes them ideal? So, like, for example, my perfect clients are usually type A, very go, 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 high-energy people. What other a lot of times they're selling B2B, which I love to help them with the business-to-business marketing. And they're also high energy. Now, a lot of times if you're looking for a perfect client, look at yourself and say, okay, who would I like to work with? So, for example, me, I'm very high energy. I'm very quick moving. I like people like that because we attract, you know, a mirror of ourselves. So you can look at the things that you, the people that you interact well with and look to find clients like that. Okay. What qualities do they have? Is another question to ask. Are they upbeat? Are they happy? Are they patient? Are they, just keep looking at all the things that you can identify about them. And I saw somebody say that they're not my ideal client. But you know what? I will work with people that are under six figures as long as they're ready to rip and roar and move forward. So, but it's good to have some goals. I'm glad to see you're headed there next year. That's awesome. Now, the other thing about your perfect client, so if you look at your perfect client, what do they want more of? What is it that they want? What are their goals? What do they want less of? What do they want to get rid of? So, for example, my perfect clients, they're fed up of working harder and harder and harder. They want to be able to do more with less. They want to be able to get more leverage. They want to be able to make income while they're not working. They want to be able to take a vacation and not have their business go down the tubes. What is it that keeps your ideal client, your perfect client, up at night? What is it that they're worried about? And I call this my 2 a.m. list. You know, what is it? What's on their 2 a.m. list? Is it, you know, and it depends on what your business is, what that is. I mean, you're not going to be able to help them with everything that they're worried about at 2 o'clock in the morning, but there's going to be the things that are on the list that you can then help them with. Where do they hang out? So where are your perfect clients? What kind of conferences do they go to? What do they like to do? So, for example, I met a bunch of you guys that are on here today at the Entrepreneur Growth Conference, and my perfect clients are people that are educating themselves. They're endless learners. There's another quality of my perfect clients. They're people that like to learn. They're people that like to move forward. For example, Dan Kennedy, they might be at a Dan Kennedy conference, or they might be at an Infusionsoft conference for my perfect client. Where are your perfect clients hanging out? Who else do they do business with? This is a great way to grow your business. And like I said, in the low-hanging fruit call, I go even more into this of how to develop those strategic alliances. But like, for example, if you're selling wedding stuff, those perfect clients, where else are they? Oh, well, they're at the gym, right, because they're trying to get in shape for their wedding. They're at the jewelry store trying to get their rings. They're at the florist. So look at other places that they that they're hanging out, that they're doing business. What is it that they read? Now, obviously, you guys are all read Entrepreneur Magazine. You can check me out in this month's issue. I'm on page 54, so you can see my smiling face there. What other things, and your people might not read a business magazine, but they might read a local newspaper. They might read a local, for example, with the bridal example, you know, there's the newspaper, but then every newspaper usually has a wedding issue of that newspaper. So that allows you to get even more targeted. The more targeted that you can get, the better. Okay? What do they watch on TV? And now, you're not probably going to buy a television ad. You're not going to go buy an ad for the Super Bowl, heaven forbid. If you do have that kind of budget, then come see me. We'll help you figure out your ad. But, you want to say, if they're watching this show, then, wow, I could look at people on Facebook that are also watching this show. People that like The Biggest Loser and I'm Selling Fitness, well, hey, that would be somebody that might be my perfect client. People that are watching, whatever show it is, you need to be able to tie that into what you're doing and be able to find them. You know, you can find them on Twitter. You know, with the social networking, it can really help you reach your perfect clients much more easily than it was in times past, because we can see what they like. We can see what they're doing. Think and Grow Rich. People that have read Think and Grow Rich, they're somebody that might be my perfect client. So what else would they be reading or doing? Okay, great. And I love seeing everybody on the tweet chat, so keep it up. All right, so I want you to take some time, write down exactly what you need to do to find your perfect clients. All right. And then at the end, I'm going to open this up for some questions. So make sure if you have questions, write them down, and I will answer them at the end. So what I want to do is really encourage you to go after your perfect client, to not settle, because that's a big thing, is people settle for what they get versus what they want. So I'm going to, now I have no idea where this came from, but it's really sums it up very concisely, is the business owner's serenity prayer. So the business owner's serenity prayer is, God, grant me the serenity to accept that there are some clients I cannot change, the courage to confront the ones I can help change, and the wisdom to know the difference. Everybody I read that to, they love that. Cracks them up, because it's so true, is that we get in an unhealthy relationship with trying to please people that are never going to be our perfect clients. All right, well, let's go into the second strategy here. All right. Okay, so this second strategy is to shift from selling to serving. Now, this is something that I've been working on for years to help people make this shift. And it's funny because, again, this is a mindset thing. A lot of times people, when they're struggling with sales or when they're struggling with the growth of their company, they're looking for things outside of them that they can do. They're looking to be able to do more advertising. They're trying to do more of stuff. But what you really need to start with is your mindset and what's within that's holding you back. And this is one of the things that holds a lot of people back. Okay. So this is when I worked on this process with an individual client, this is what she said. This was her grim definition of the word selling. I said, tell me everything that you think of when you think of selling. You know what? I'm going to ask you to take your pencil out right now and write down, and if you put it on the tweet chat, tell me what you think about selling. What are the words you associate with it? And then I'll tell you what my client said. And I'm going to take a sip of water while you guys are thinking. All right, so post your things there in the tweet chat. And I'm going to tell you what my client said about selling. Her idea of selling was resistance, hard, impossible, grim, not me, and get through quick. It's something that she had to get through quick. So if any of you can relate to that, put a yes in the tweet chat. All right, so that's what her definition was of selling. But when I asked her, oh, I like this. I got some very positive selling words, trust, energy, quality. I like this. That's from Brian. I like that because that's what we're looking for, is to associate selling with something positive. That's great. So let's switch it over to serving. When I asked the same client about serving, this is what she came up with. They like it. It's what she did naturally. She has a desire to connect. She felt like she had a purpose. She felt engaged. She felt challenging, exploring, energizing, contributing, and making a difference. So can you hear the difference in the energy between the two things that she was thinking here? And that's really what I want you to have, like Brian had posted, is to have some really exciting, I think it is Brian, your first name, is to really have some positive energy behind what you're doing. Because if you don't have positive energy behind it, then the client is going to feel that, definitely. Some of you know that I work with Tony Robbins, and I coach his business clients, not the personal clients, but the business coaching clients through Tony Robbins. And that's one of the big things is, you know, changing your mindset before you even have that conversation, getting into the right energy, getting into your peak state before you have the conversation. So let's talk about how we can do that. All right. So, you know, if you clearly identify who your perfect clients are, and you identify what their needs and wants are, then what you need to do is look at what your product or service is the solution that you're going to help them with. How does your product or service help or serve them? So here's your action step, okay? So what I want you to do, now that we've decided who our perfect client is. And again, you want to keep this perfect client in your mind. Don't go with the whiners and energy vampires. Think of what their gaps are. And so the gap, let me just define what a gap is. A gap is that you're at one place and you want to get to another place. There's a difference between what you have and what you want to be. Now, it could be that I have no web presence and I want to have a fabulous website. It could be I have a website, but I want to be able to sell stuff online. That would be their gap. It could be, and those might be two different types of markets. If you're a web designer, you might decide that, hey, I only want to work with people that are already online, but now I want to take it into having a shopping cart. So these are some things to think about, is to look at what are the gaps that you really like working with. And then look at what you do can help them with that. Okay, so that's one of your assignments, is to create the list of your perfect client's gaps, their needs. What do they need? And sometimes, you know, the thing about needs is a lot of times people sell to needs and it's not what they want. So I want you to keep a big distinction in mind, is that they might need it, but they might not want it. So you want to make sure that whatever they need, they also want, right? So, for example, if you're selling weight loss coaching, I'm sure there's a gazillion people that need weight loss, right? But not all of them want it. But if you are looking at somebody that has a gap and they say, hey, I want to lose 20 pounds, now all of a sudden they have a need, or they want to get in shape for their wedding. They have a need that they want to fill. So again, you want to make sure that you're working with things that people really want. What are their problems and what are their goals? So here's a good thing. You're going to create a list of their gaps, their needs, their problems, and their goals. And I'd love to just put all that down the left side of the paper. And then on the right side of the paper, what I want you to do is look at how what you do, how whatever your service does or whatever your product does, can serve them and help them with those needs. Now, another part of really serving the client that I love to do is that if there's something that my perfect clients really want or need or have a gap with, I like to be able to help them with that. So that's why I'm always a real resource for my clients, that if they need help with something, so for example, getting publicity or something like that, that's not something that I do. So I like to be able to refer people to other people so that they can get what they want, even if it's not for me, because it's a great, you're, again, creating good energy, creating a connection, creating a relationship with the client. And that's really what you want, is to create a relationship. So when you do that, then you can, again, you can go back to this whole strategic alliance part. So you look at the left side of the page and you see all their goals, wants, needs, things that they need help with. And then you look at how you can serve them. So, all right, here's how my product or service serves them. And then also look at, like, what are the connections or what are the resources that you can provide them with? What is the information that you can provide them with? Like, for example, one thing that came up several times in coaching this week was CRM systems, a client relationship management system. Now, we talk about how to follow up with clients and have a system to do your CRM, but they needed the software. So that's something that, you know, from my experience and seeing what's worked and what hasn't worked, I'm able to help them, you know, find something that, you know, and there's different size solutions that fit different size companies. So look at how you can connect people. And again, that'll help you set up really powerful strategic alliance partners that will also refer people back to you. Okay. All right, so we're ready to hop on over to strategy number 3, and this is to value yourself and what you are selling. Okay, so this is something that I do. I go really in-depth on this process when I do something called a VIP day with my client, that we spend the day either in person or over the phone, and we really dig into their business. We look at their marketing plan. We look at their strategic plan. We help them develop a sales process. And one of the first things that you need to do is to be able to value yourself, because, again, it's a mindset thing, is that if you're not valuing it, no one else will. So I'm going to give you an example using the web designer again. So, for example, a web designer, what they do is very, very you know, simple. They're creating HTML code. They're designing a page that looks nice for their client, right? So that's what they do. Now, that is not the value of what they do, because what it is basically a picture on my screen. If you know what it is, you know, put in so many words. But the value of that website is huge, because what they're doing is they're giving a business an online presence that they can. They're giving them ability to sell their products or services worldwide. They're giving them the another revenue stream, possibly. They're helping them establish credibility. They're helping them get more clients. They're helping them get leverage in their business by being able to sell products on their website or educate their prospects 24/7. So you can see the difference between, like, I do a web page, or I can serve you in all of these ways and help, you know, transform your business. It's a huge shift. So here's your next action step. What is the value of your product or service? Not the dollar amount, but what does it help your client with? Now, I want you to list at least 50 things. 50 things. Now, this might be a challenge for some of you, but I want you to dig deep. And I'd love to see you guys put some things up here in the tweet chat of what you do. What is the value of what you do? Now, some ways to look at this is that there's the value of what you do in terms of for the client, but then there's the ripple effect too. And this is part of the thing that I go into more in depth with my client is, if you help them with this, what's the ripple effect? How does that affect their family? How does that affect their legacy? How does that affect the world? You know, for example, a lot of my clients, what I do is I help them increase their sales and their profits, but on the other part that goes hand in hand with it is to help them have more freedom, have them have more leverage, so that what they can do is they can take time off to spend with who and what they love and do what they love. And that is something that's a huge value, that's not something that, you know, it's like, oh, I want to increase sales. That's not something that you immediately think of. But it is a ripple effect. And then what is the ripple effect then to that person's kids? Well, that person, you know, took his kids to Disney, and, you know, now his kids are really interested in entrepreneurship because they can see the difference between what that parent is doing and how the other parents are with their kids and presents for their kids. So, come on, don't be shy. I'd love to see some things here in the tweet chat. And I know you're not all on the tweet chat, but definitely put some of the things that you're doing that's of value. Educate us. All right. Okay, good. I like to see this. Okay, good. Thanks for contributing on the tweet chat there. Okay, so the third strategy is to value yourself and what you're selling. And I want you to list 50 things. 50 things, how that helps them. You know, I like to draw little arrows and say, well, this helps them with this, and then that leads to this, and really just keep going with it and see how far you can go. All right. So the fourth strategy to help you increase sales and get better clients is to ask better questions. What would your prospect say yes to regardless of their interest in you or your product? Okay. So you might, and the thing about these questions that is so powerful is a lot of times the hardest thing to do is to start a conversation with somebody. You know, is to get your foot in the door, to not have them hang up on you. So this is a strategy that really helps with that and opens the dialogue, opens the relationship. So you should have a list of questions that will get your prospect to say yes, even if they weren't even thinking of buying your product or service. So for example, I'll give you a few different examples. So for an image consultant, you know, do you like to make a good first impression? Well, who's going to say no? And if they do say no, that is just an opportunity to then ask some more questions and deepen the relationship, you know, get some more interaction there. You know, because some people might say no just to mess with you. And then you say, oh, really? You don't like to get a first, you know, good first impression. So let me ask you this. When you go to meet with a new client, Do you wear your best suit or do you wear your worst suit? Or, you know, ask more questions. All right. A web designer. So a good question for a web designer isn't, do you want a website? Because then they're going to say yes or no. And there's no opportunity for more conversation there. What you want to ask is some questions that can take you deeper. So let me ask you a question, Mr. Prospect. Are you working on growing your business right now? Yes. Most people are going to say yes to that. And if they are going to say no to that, then that's another whole set of questions that you can ask them. If they say, oh, I'm not growing my business right now, and say, oh, wow, well, tell me more about that. You know, that's very unusual. And they might say, oh, well, I'm so busy. I just got on Oprah last month and blah, 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 blah. Well, gee, that might lead you to, well, have you developed a line of products that you can sell online as a result of your Oprah appearance and blah, 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 blah. You can always open that door and enter the conversation and open up the relationship. Okay? All right. So I like that one. It's fun to really, you know, I like the, you know, even if somebody says no, it really, you know, it just opens the door and it's fun. So the other one as a web designer for a lot of businesses could say, are you taking on new clients right now? That's another way to know is, are they interested in growing their business? Are they interested, you know, in moving forward? So if you're a web designer and they're taking on new clients, well, having a better website, being able to get new clients through the website is something that you can help them with. You know, a lot of these, you know, if you're a web designer, a lot of these people don't know how to use the Google Maps and all that sort of stuff. It's all little add-ons that can really just add value. Again, serving the client. Logistics industry. So that's a very different industry, but it's very competitive. The logistics industry, I have a client that sells in the logistics field, and what he says is that his salespeople are like little mosquitoes in a swarm of mosquitoes. So that is not really a very empowering place to be, as one of these mosquitoes in the swarm of mosquitoes, because what that means is that the prospect doesn't even want to talk to you. They don't want to take your calls. They don't want to take your emails. It's like everybody's trying to get them to work with them on their logistics. So you need to have some really good questions. So again, this was one of the questions that we worked on was, with the current economy, are you looking for ways to get more out of less? And all of my clients say yes to that. They all want to get more out of less. And if they say no, again, open that door, ask them a follow-up question. Be curious. Now, a lot of times what people do is when they get something that is that scares them or they get a little fearful, what happens is that they shut down. They stop asking questions. And the question is where you're going to learn more about the prospect, where you're going to learn more about what their needs are, what their concerns are, how you can serve them. So just be curious. You know, my dad always used to say, and my dad was one of my sales mentors, is to be like Columbo, you know, the bumbling detective that he would always, he'd be trying to solve the case and then he'd be ready to leave and he'd say, oh, well, I'm just curious. Where was the blah, blah, blah when you blah, blah, blah? And it would be like the question that broke open the case. So think like Columbo. Don't be so worried about being right or being perfect or having this image to maintain that you're not willing to ask questions. Be in a beginner mind about this person that you're meeting. You know, it's just like when you're meeting somebody at a cocktail party that you want to ask something that would be opening up the relationship. So sales is all about opening the relationship up. So I would like you, as your next action statement, to create some yes questions that open up the conversation for more interaction. And then, you know, have some follow-up curiosity questions that are fun. All right, so we've been zooming through this. We're now at our fifth thing to help you increase your sales and get more of your perfect clients without being pushy. You can see how all of this is very conversational. It's very serving the client. It's helping people. And it's something that you can feel really confident in doing and doing consistently. So that leads me to number five. You need to be consistent with your actions and accountable for your results. Now, this is a mistake that a lot of small businesses make, is that they, you know, in large corporations, they track everything. They do all these reports and all of that. But as a small business, a lot of times we're so busy doing everything, being the chief cook and bottle washer, that we don't take time to do the important things and work on the business. So the first thing is you need to set clear sales goals for your business. Don't have wishy-washy goals because they're not going to get you anywhere. You know, it's just like saying, oh, I'm going to go west today. Well, okay, well, do you want to end up in Arizona or do you want to end up in Washington State? There's a big difference in the weather between those two places, right? You want to be in the rain or do you want to be in the dry heat? So you need to really know that. Set clear goals for your business where it's going, the number of sales that you want to make. And also the things that you need to look at is your profit margins to make sure that when you're making a sale, you're not just going lowball on the price and not getting enough profit out of it. Your financial goals for the company, your actions. What are you going to do that moves you forward? So if you want X number of sales, how many calls are you going to make? How many connections are you going to make at a conference? All of that needs, everything that you do, you need to have a goal for it and shoot for it. Okay. And then to be accountable for your results. So for example, if you went to the conference, a lot of you went to the entrepreneur conference, did you have a goal for how many people that you wanted to meet? Now, it's funny because I saw some people there at the event that were passing out their business cards and not talking to people. They were just going up to people and handing them their cards. Now, there was no reason for me to develop a relationship with that person, and there's no reason for me to choose that person over somebody else. So you want to look at, okay, and there was no way for that person to get, they didn't ask for my card even. So they had no way to contact me. So that's why when you have these very, you know, set goals, they might have wanted to hand out 400 cards. But now let's look at what the results are. Do they have any people to contact after the event? Have they had a conversation? Have they moved people forward? Have they helped understand how they can serve somebody? No. So you always want to be really accountable for what you did and review what it is that you're doing and see how it works. And that's why, you know, it's important to have somebody like a coach or a mastermind buddy, somebody that you really can ask these questions of yourself and be accountable to moving forward, always improving. So you want to track the number of sales conversations you have. And again, handing out your business card is not a sales conversation. It's kind of like spam. It's like conference spam, but in person. you want to track your conversion. And, you know, how many conversations are you having and how many people are then moving forward to the next step? So when I say conversion, you can track several different things. You can track, obviously, conversion on your website. You can track conversion to setting an appointment. And then you can track, you know, if you get an appointment, how many people then move to the next step or to a sale. Okay? The other good way to be really accountable and consistent is to have a good CRM system. So I use Infusionsoft, which I love. It's a big solution. I've been wanting to get that for years, and I just did in the end of 2010. But have a good CRM system so that you can see how often are you touching the people? How often are you having a conversation or interacting with them? And if you have the good CRM system, then you can pull a report and say, okay, how many people have I spoken to this month? How many people have I called? All of that. And then you want to be accountable for the results to somebody else. And that's the problem with entrepreneurs, because we're working on our own, that we're not accountable. You know, we are the boss. And a lot of times we make excuses instead of getting results. And that's because we don't have somebody that's higher than us saying, well, how many sales calls did you make? How many this did you make? Why did you do this instead of that? Because a lot of times we're doing the busy stuff instead of the productive stuff. And these are conversations that you should be having to move you forward and to grow your business. So, you know, a coach or a mastermind group, something that's going to hold you accountable. So even for today, you've done this class. Now, you need to be accountable that you're going to do the action steps that I laid out in the call. So we've gone over the mistakes that you might be currently making, and I've given you 5 strategies to implement. So now it's your actions that are either going to take you closer to your goal or further away. So my favorite saying that I say at the end of all of my calls is, don't just learn, implement.
Congratulations on taking the first step towards taking your business to the next level. To get more support with implementing the strategies covered in this audio, be sure to visit businessoptimizercoach.com for more resources and high-level business coaching programs to help you get the results you want faster. Stay tuned to hear from some of Stacy's clients talking about the results they got after coaching with Stacy.
Hi, my name is Tim Schmidt, and I own a magazine publishing company and an engineering services business. I've been a coaching client of Stacy's for about 8 months, and I can say that Stacy has helped me in quite a few different ways. Number one, I personally think that a coach is supposed to be someone who really draws out the best in a person, and Stacy just does a great job in holding me accountable to the things that I've committed to. Number two, not only is Stacy a solid coach, but she's also got a fantastic background in direct response marketing. There have been quite a few times when we'll do brainstorming sessions on our coaching calls. You know, we won't be talking about coaching anymore, but she'll actually be doing marketing consulting for me. And she's helped me come up with headlines, offers, quite frankly, are probably worth over $10,000 in additional revenue for my business that Stacy just literally whipped off the top of her head. So her marketing knowledge is just simply a fantastic bonus. Another area that Stacy has really helped me out with is time management. It's just way too easy for me to sit down and do nothing but work. I mean, I love my work, and it's just way too easy for me to do nothing but that. But since Stacy has really helped me with my time management, I'm spending a lot more time with my wife and kids, which, of course, makes them a lot more happy. And, heck, I've even started studying Taekwondo with my oldest son. So Stacy has really helped me in this area. And lastly, and quite frankly, probably the most important area, is Stacy is just a nice person. She has a naturally positive and upbeat personality, which we all know is usually very contagious. The bottom line is that it's critical to surround yourself with positive and forward-thinking people who want to see you succeed. And Stacy Hyland is one of those people.